Chris Howell Communications. This is Principles for Success, the Chris Howell Podcast. Success is something we all want to attain in the various areas of our lives, but it can be challenging. So in this podcast, Chris aims to have conversations with those who have achieved a level of success and hopes that principles they share will help you to remove the roadblocks and move you to victory, whether it's relationships, business, or any other area of life. Are you ready for success? Here we go.
Hey, this is Pam Perry, Get Out There, Get Known podcast. Thanks for joining us. We have a great show. We have the Golden Voice. It's going to be coming on Chris Howell. He's going to be talking about all things media, and we're going to be just chopping it up, and I'll just tell you all about it right after this. Hey there. So just the backstory. I'll read the formal bio, but before I do that, I have known Chris probably over 20 years. We met online way back when he was in media. He was working in the a market that we were both in the same market. He was actually featured in Gospel Today magazine. I used to write for Gospel Today magazine. That's probably where I heard him. But then we used to talk back and forth. He had a book, and obviously I was working a lot more with authors back then. His book was called Man Talk. And we just kind of talked, and we really clicked. He's from Dallas, and he's a good guy, good father, and also grandfather as well. But he has such a great story and a great heart. He is a speaker, a broadcast personality, media consultant, entrepreneur, and an advocate for change, best known for his Golden Voice, for which he shared over the airways during his time in media for over two decades. He's interviewed some of the most iconic voices, including Oprah Winfrey, just drop that name, Zig Ziglar, John Maxwell, Rob Lowe, and T.D. Jakes, and many more, Joel Osteen. He's also an award-winning journalist, which is why I always like to do this show, so you all can kind of go behind the scenes with me as I talk to my journalist friends. And also, he's the author of Man Talk, like I said, a great book, president and CEO of Chris Howell Communications. I'll be telling you that more about that. It's really a media and communications firm in Dallas, Texas, and he's also been featured in Christian publications, New Man publication, Gospel Today, and he believes that people from all backgrounds deserve equal opportunities to attain the most basic human needs. Then he has founded the Chris Howell Foundation to help them do that. So he is just an all-around good guy. I love Chris. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you so much, Dr. Perry. I really appreciate the opportunity to be with you.
Oh, thank you.
And you really build the pressure up. I'm like, wow, who is this person? I like to meet him.
We met so long ago, and you have been the same. I mean, it's like we picked up, and I get to come to Dallas next week to that podcast conference. And so hopefully I'll see you there, because you have a podcast studio. So we'll be doing something there as well. But I'm just so proud of what you're doing. But I want people to tell you, you've interviewed all these fabulous stars, and you've got all these things going on. You got the foundation, but tell us how you got started. You know, if you want to go back to when you were in high school and how your life has evolved to where it is now.
Okay. All right. Thank you for the opportunity. You know, speaking of that podcast conference real quick, you made me aware of that podcast conference. So yes, I will be there. I had no idea it was going to be in Dallas. So when you shared with me that you were attending, I looked it up and said, you know what? I have to be there. So I will be there.
Yes, going back to the
question. Yeah, it's right there, right here in my backyard. I have to be there, so I will be there. But going back to what you asked, you know, I'm one of those people who you could probably say maybe stumbled into media or maybe came in through the back door, so to speak. I always admired watching folks doing the news here locally in Dallas as a young kid growing up in West Dallas. But, you know, I never thought I'd really have the opportunity to do it because I didn't finish high school. I actually ended up dropping out of high school in ninth grade because my wife, who's my wife today, we got together at 14 years old, had our first kid at 16. And by the time we were 18, well, we already had our third kid.
Wow.
You know, I was forced with that decision to say, you know, do you continue a couple more years of high school here, or do you go ahead and get a full-time job? So I dropped out of school and went ahead and got a full-time job. At that time, I worked with Blockbuster Video. So I worked with Blockbuster Video until I worked my way up into a district manager position, and was the youngest district manager that they ever had, you know, I guess prior to them shutting down. So it was one of those situations where while working at Blockbuster as a district manager, I attended the Potter's House Church under the leadership of Bishop T.D. Jakes. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, as everyone knows, the Potter's House, they do things in a big way. And they were doing the announcements in this whole Entertainment Tonight format. And, you know, being part of the men's ministry there, I noticed that there were no men doing the announcements. It was always women that were doing the announcements. And I, working with the men, I knew there were a number of guys who I felt could possibly do that. I never thought I would do it, didn't want to do it. But one day after service, I made mention to the television director that, you know, we have some men who could do those announcements, and it would be good for us as a church that's 45% men. It would be good to us to have men up on that screen. So when I made that mention to him, he said, well, why don't you do it? I said, you know, I took that as a challenge, and I was almost, you know, offended by it, because I was like, no, I'm not advocating for me to do it. I want someone else to do it. But I took it as a challenge. And so I did. And I went, and they had an audition process, and I went and auditioned for it. And I will tell you, you know, while I was serving as a district manager, we had 250 employees and, you know, all these things I'm over as a district manager, I used to even do the offering, and I would be standing there holding the offering bucket as everyone's come putting their offering in. I certainly didn't want to be up on the Jumbotron where everyone is, you know, in the church looking at me. But I went and did the audition process, and I got it. And it was a learning curve, because, again, the Potter's House doing things in such a professional way. This is a church doing church announcements, and they had a teleprompter. So I've never been in front of a teleprompter before. So you learn how to read a teleprompter. And I was doing the announcements. And one of the challenges that early on was I always talk too fast. So we had to work on getting me to slow down and really work on the speed. But I will tell you, that experience is what I took 9 years of doing the announcements. 6 years into that, I was able to take that experience and leverage that experience for a position with 90.9 KCBI radio.
Are you serious?
Yes.
In the Dallas.
So, oh, my you can appreciate this, and maybe the audience will as well. When you talk about coming into Dallas-Fort Worth on an FM station, top five market, 90.9 KCBI, you know, contemporary Christian station, that's, you know, that's no small feat without any prior experience.
No.
But that experience at the Potter's House holds so much weight.
Right.
So my start was through church announcements. So when you hear people say they were singing in the church choir and things of that nature, and that's how they started their singing career, my broadcast career got started, again, doing the church announcements. So I started out doing traffic for KCBI. And then I guess 9 months after that, I then moved into the news department and then spent 7 years in the news department as a news reporter and news anchor for KCBI radio. During that time, I had NBC5, who the community affairs president had heard me on KCBI. Her and I happened to be at a meeting one day, and we talked about me coming on doing some stuff for them for their community affairs program. Mm-hmm. So in February, it will be 10 years that I've been as a, not even a contract. It's not even a contract. It's basically a handshake deal to where I've been contributing for NBC5 on their community affairs program. If they have something they want featured, or if I have something that I think is worthy of going on the show, I pitch it to them. I come on, I host it, and things of that nature. So it's been a great journey with both radio and television as a result of volunteering at my church.
That's a God story. And then where you started, right? Like, just started, like, I just, and this part is, this is a bigger feat than all of that, that you have been with your girlfriend, now wife, since you were 14.
Yes.
Three kids later and a grandbaby, right?
Yes. It's yes. Like, I tell people all the time, she likes to say she's been putting up with me a long time. I say I've been putting up with her a long time. We've been putting up with each other.
You all grew up together. I mean, that is just beautiful.
The kids grew up with us as well.
Right. The kids did too. I mean, it's just like, that is really good. And I'm just really proud of you, because, you know, you've taken that opportunity, and you've now got Chris Howell Communications. And you've done the television, you've done the radio. So tell us what Chris Howell Communications does in terms of helping entrepreneurs really get out there, get known, how you help them do that.
Absolutely. Well, you know, of course, like any former journalist, when you come out of the newsroom, I mean, you know, the inner workings of a newsroom and how, you know, we go out after stories and how we feature people, things of that nature. Mm-hmm. So it was to launch my own communications firm. We saw about a year prior to KCBI laying us all off. We saw that thing coming. So what my wife and I did was looked at, okay, what do we do here? Do we try and go to another news station? And I really didn't want to go into hard news. I really enjoyed being able, with a Christian station, and being able to share my faith, even when sharing the stories. So I knew I didn't want to go into a hard newsroom. So I knew, you know, the thing for me to do was to be able to start my own firm. And even so, when I saw While doing the news, I saw that there were many stories out there that were not told of people that were doing great work. And those stories many times didn't make the news. The stories that made the news were all the bad things that were going on. So when we started Chris Howell Communications, it was an easy fit for me to, again, go to those organizations who were doing great work and great service to the community, but weren't being featured. And we talked about putting together communication strategies for them. And that's how we launched. We went out and got an office and you know, didn't have a client to be when we first opened our office. I don't recommend that to everybody. But
walk by faith. Right. Yeah. Walk by faith. That was the same thing with me when I started my company. It's like, okay, here we are.
Yes.
We got a computer. We got to get to cracking now. Let's make some calls. Yes.
And I'll tell you, Dr. Perry, here's the funny part. We wanted to be on Main Street. We're at 2201 Main Street, downtown Dallas. So we wanted to be on Main Street. And it was a little bitty office when we first started, a little small office. But we're on Main Street, downtown Dallas, in the Central Business District. So that was our pitch, you know, to many of the constituents. Because, you know, of course, when you say you're in Dallas, Texas, folks want to, you know, do it in a big way. So we were on Main Street, downtown Dallas. And thankfully, we had a good reputation and had done some good work with radio stations and things of that nature. So folks, you know, allowed us to get their business.
Yeah, because you had the credibility. And yeah. One of the things you said, sometimes there's stories that need to be told that probably, you know, the major stations won't pick them up or that sort of thing, or they can't be in Time Magazine or whatever. But that's how I really have started Speakers Magazine. There's so many great speakers, you included, yep, that need to be in this magazine. Yeah. And that's why I started it. It's like this one here is Dr. Stacey N.C. Grant, she was July. Letitia Cole, she is the August one. But both of these are powerful entrepreneurs. They are great speakers, and they just needed to have their story told. So what we do is we tell the story in the magazine. I'm holding this up now for those who can't see it.
But yeah.
Basically, just to tell their story so that they can actually then be seen by more people. And that is telling the good stories, right? We always hear Absolutely. The bad stories. It's like doing the good stories, because my background is journalism too. And it's like, I didn't want to go into hard news. I like feature writing. That was my main thing. I like feature writing and not like investigative, like hard news and murders and all that kind of stuff. I don't even like to watch those kind of movies. You know, they scare me.
Right.
So I knew I couldn't do it in real life if the movie scared me. It's like, you know, I jump out of my seat if I'm watching Batman when it gets too, like, it's too crazy.
So here you are on a murder scene shoot, you know, you got to be out there live and giving the details, like, and all that stuff. No, that's not for you.
Not for me. So really telling good stories and things like that is really, really the heart of why we do what we do. And that's why we in Gospel Today, you were featured in Gospel Today.
Yes.
And Teresa Harrison is still a mentor of mine to this day. I really love what she did for 30 years, I think it was.
Yep.
Probably
yep.
30 years. And now she's in TV. I don't know if you know that, but she has her own TV show now.
I did not know that.
Yes, she's on Impact.
Is it
television.
Featured? Is it local? I mean, what's give me the story on it.
It's on satellite. It's on Impact Television, and it is run by Wayne T. Jackson, I believe it is. Yeah, Wayne T. Jackson, and she does a feature every single month, once a month, out of Atlanta studio, WATC, and they allow her to do the local show, which is WATC, which is Atlanta, but she also does the international show on the satellite station, you know, on the Impact Network.
Okay.
And she just looks beautiful. I said, you are like Benjamin Button. I said, you are just aging backwards. I don't understand what's going on with you.
I did see her recently. I didn't get a chance to speak with her, but we were in the same room for Bishop Jake's celebration they had for his 75th birthday here this year. She was here.
Yeah.
And you're right. She didn't look like she had aged at all.
No, not at all. I'm like, that is God. Look at you. Look at you. Oh my God.
But you mentioned that article, and I'll tell you now how that article came about was during my time at the Potter's House, and I'm still there as a member. I'm not mm-hmm. as active as much, but one of the things we were able to do was for 3.5 years, I hosted the Man Talk session at the Potter's House, and that was the second Wednesday of every month. And it was at a time, again, when, you know, again, not very many, and still even today, I guess there's not a whole lot of things geared toward men. But, you know, it made a loud noise at that point because we were getting anywhere from 700 to 1,000 men to come out to church on a Wednesday night to talk about practical issues. Bishop Jakes had the spiritual side, you know, handled on Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. We were bringing them in to talk about those practical issues, a man and his money, a man and his education, you know, men and lust, men and sex, things of that nature, to really deal with how we as men process on those practical issues. And men really, really got into that. And really the book is even a spinoff from that because there were just so many men who couldn't attend those sessions to where we just put it in book form to really be able to continue the conversation.
I love that. So, yeah. That is your first book. Do you have another one brewing on the horizon?
You know what? I say that I do. And in fact, if we've even written the book, it's just that I haven't put it out, partly because I guess I'll tell you this, and we're talking about how to get out there. You think it's easy just put it out there and just get it out there.
Yes.
Part of the challenge with books, in my opinion today, is that, you know, you really want that platform to be a little bit larger if you're going to go through actually printing a book. So what I'm advising many people to do today, if either you put it out there as an ebook or you put it out there as an audio book. And so we're still adding to it and really looking at how we're going to put it out there, but we haven't just yet. Because I'm really trying to expand the platform, because if I do it, I want to make sure that it comes out, and it comes out in a way that makes it worth printing. Because again, that was not a small feat to do the first book.
Yeah, but the audiobook is a natural for you, Chris.
It is. But that it's like the mechanic who needs his car repaired, the barber who needs his haircut, you know.
I know.
It's you help everyone else, and you know, you do your own thing.
You do your own thing. Now, I met recently a friend of yours. I believe her name is Roz. They call her the Smile. And we talked about you and your book that you have coming out. What is the name of it? So we can put it out there, because we're waiting on it.
No, I haven't put it out there.
No, but you're working on it.
It's really just sharing my story. It's sharing my story, and it's really talking about my journey, not only my journey as getting into broadcast, but it's really talking about my story as a young teenage father dropping out of high school and how we made that feat to coming to where we are today.
Okay. All right. I believe the young lady's name, because I met her at the Faithpreneur Conference, and we were talking about Dallas, and then we got into, like, where did you go to church? And then I said, you know, Chris. And then I said, yeah, I'm going to be seeing him at the podcast conference. And then we said, he's working on a book.
So but I hadn't given anyone a name of it, so I'm not sure what she may have thought.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe she is suggesting that you need to do the book. Maybe.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I've had many people tell me you need to go ahead and get it done and put it out there.
Yeah, because you did Man Talk. How many years did you do Man Talk?
Oh, man, Man Talk was in 1994.
And you did that, and then you did Man Talk, the sessions with the men at the church.
We did that for 3.5 years. So that was it during that 94 period. We did that for 3.5 years. Yeah. And I have since launched In the Huddle with Chris Howell, which is, again, an opportunity to bring men together. And we do that underneath the Chris Howell Foundation. But it's an opportunity to bring men together to, again, address some of those same issues.
Yeah, because you like mentoring. You like mentoring people and really sharing their story, giving them encouragement. That's just part of who you are, and that's just part of what you do. And so now, if someone were an executive or someone is an expert, say they are just naming different type of clients, or say they have a retail store, how do they work with Chris Howell Communications in terms of, do you help them with advertising? Do you help them with print ads? Do you do PR for them? Because I know you're part of the Public Relations Society and also NABJ. So you're journalists and a PR, you know, colleagues on both sides. So how is it that people can't really get out there and get known? It's like, I don't know where to start. What's the first thing they should do in this digital world?
You're absolutely right. And again, it really doesn't make a difference, I guess, whether you're in retail or whether you're a service-based business or something of that nature. What we look at is coming in together and trying to figure out, first of all, what's your mission? Where do you want to go? The other part to that is, maybe you are brick and mortar, maybe you're a retail store, but you're not just in business. You're not just in business to sell product. You're actually in the people business. So what is it about people? What is it? Is there some other service or some other cause that we can tie to your business that would help us to get you? And when you talk about getting into media, many times they're not going to come on just to feature your store because you have a product to sell. But if you are maybe geared toward, if you have a clothing shop, and then there's a certain time of year where maybe you donate so many dresses or something to young ladies who are going to the prom, young ladies in disservice neighborhoods who are going to the prom, something of that nature. Let's tie it to a cause. So that's where we come in and help them to figure out that strategy on what we can tie that to, something else that they may be passionate about. And then once we put together that strategy, when we go to put out the actual communication, it's not necessarily just talking about the business that you have, but it's really more talking about the service that you offer to the community.
I love that. And that ties in with what you do, cause-related marketing.
Absolutely.
You know, it's kind of like back in the day when I think it was Tom Joyner used to have a party with a purpose, I believe it was, when he would have his things and all the money that he would have would go to the HBCUs and that sort of thing. So, yeah, I, I get that. That is so cool.
Yeah, it makes a big difference. I mean, but you know, sometimes it's hard for people to get their head around that because thinking, I just want to sell my dresses. I just want to, you know, get out there and do my job. But you know, part of your job is also, again, if you're in a position to be able to give back to the community and move the community forward in some way, let's figure out how we can do that. So that's our job at Chris Howell Communications, to come alongside them and help them to get their head around that. And then let's put together that strategy on that. Then let's move that forward.
I love that. That is so, you're such a good storyteller. So
I try.
Storytelling is like this whole thing, story brand, it's brand story, all that kind of stuff. But you are a storyteller. I mean, so people listen to you when you're on the radio, when you're on the station, were you doing a lot of stories in between, or were you just doing music? I mean, were you doing interviews? Because I know you have the stories. So like you have the stories. So do you kind of go in between, like, should I tell my story or should I interview? Which one do you enjoy the most?
You know what? I actually did a lot of interviews. I rarely ever, and you know what? I will tell you this in full disclosure, when I was at KCBI, I never shared my story. I never shared my story. I guess it was such a conservative station, if you will. And I didn't, you know, part of it was just thinking, you know what? I'm here to do my job. This is not where I will share my story. I'll choose other platforms to be able to share my story. But I will tell you, more and more, I am starting to get out to share my story more, because I guess I've always realized the benefit of folks sharing their story. It's just that most of the time I find myself on the other side, like you and I were talking about prior to coming on. I'm the guy who's most of the time I'm interviewing other people to get them to share their story as a source of encouragement for someone else. Because growing up as a young kid in West Dallas, I mean, it was by reading other folks' story. It's about hearing other stories that gave me a sense of encouragement and gave me a sense of hope that even as a teenage father, all hope was not lost. You know, if we just continue to move forward, we will eventually see better days. So I know the benefit of it, but I rarely ever shared my story during those times.
But you're a good storyteller. And that's one of the main things about being an entrepreneur anyway, too, is just really telling the stories.
That's exactly it.
Sure, to the media. You know a story when you hear it. So obviously when you hear it, you share it with the media, or you're shaping it for the media. And that's why you can go on television whenever you want, because they know that'll be a good segment, story segment or whatever. It's a good wraparound.
And you know, I think that shaping piece that you talk about, I mean, that's the important part when you talk about how to get out there and really how to get yourself known, things of that nature. I think it's really helping folks to understand that we all have a story. We all have something that we're passionate about. So even if we're in business, certainly we're in business to make a profit, but we're also in business to be able to bring about a change. So when you tap into that part and you're able to talk about those passions and be able to identify how it benefits the community as a whole from what you do, that's when you can get, you know, media attention, things of that nature. But no, even with myself, you know, with Chris Howell Communications, I haven't been featured many times at all in the media for Chris Howell Communications. We've been featured millions of times for Chris Howell, the work we do through Chris Howell Foundation, because again, that's what we're doing for the community. It's not necessarily to profit my business.
That is really key too. When I did PR for the Salvation Army, this was many years ago before I started my company, we could always get, obviously the brand was well known, but we always had those heart human interest stories, you know, the ones that
lived that heartstring.
Because it was the good that they were doing. And that's really what the news tries to. I mean, there's the bad news, obviously there's the robbery and the killings and all that, but then there's also too where they're trying to balance it with good stories. And that's where most entrepreneurs and experts need to really kind of say, like, how can I figure that piece out and really do good, and then also let the news media know, because they're looking for those stories. So that's really like a good hook, so to speak, when people are looking for that. But also too, you're doing good, and you're sharing resources, you're mentoring, you know, like you said, if it's around prom time, you're giving away dresses. Those are the kind of things that I guess you would say is the golden rule. You know, you treat other people how you want to be treated, they'll come back to you. And that's really good business. You know, it's good business, whatever. So at this point, I'm just going to ask you one last question, because we're kind of like here at the end. It goes by fast. So if we're looking at your career in journalism and entrepreneurship, and then obviously being involved in the community and all of that, what is an entrepreneur to do with this whole piece of, I guess you would say, the podcast piece, because we're going to be talking about podcasts. What should everybody start a podcast? or should you try to get on as many podcasts or a combination of both? And, you know, so we can kind of say, well, it's like, I'm a business person. I can't start a podcast where I don't have it. But let's hear your opinion about this whole golden voice in the podcast.
I'm smiling as you're asking me that, because I do believe that if you have the bandwidth, because a lot of times, you know, you and I, this is our background. So you see my setup and things of that nature. I have most of this stuff because, again, it's just what I do. So I want to say that everyone should start a podcast, but a podcast can be a lot of work. So if you're passionate about not only sharing your story and sharing about your business, but again, like we talked about earlier, if you're going to use your podcast as a platform, as a form of inspiration or as a form of teaching and helping others to get tools, things that they need by bringing on other guests that you may know, then yes, maybe you should start a podcast. Yeah. But if you're someone who is not really committed to that process, because it is a lot of work, if you're not really committed to that, then maybe your goal should be to hire a publicist and then work to get on as many podcasts as a guest as you possibly can and share your story, share your inspiration, your encouragement that way. But if you take on the opportunity to do a podcast, like I said, I've had one since 2015, and it's been a lot of starting and stopping. Because, I mean, you know, there are times where I'm doing this podcast and I'm like, man, I need to be taking care of my business over here. I don't have time to do a podcast. So, you know, it's been a lot of starting and stopping with it. But you know what? It is something that I do enjoy doing. So when the opportunity presents itself, I do it a lot more often. But to answer your question, and for the sake of time, I will say only start it if it is something that you really do desire to do, because you want to be another form of service. But if you're doing it just to get yourself out there, you could do a better way of doing that by just hiring a publicist and let that publicist do the work for you to get you out there to talk about what it is you want to talk about.
That is so true. That is true. I mean, you can go around and drive around. I had a client today talking about you can go around and go to all the bookstores, all the places to speak, or you can do like a podcast tour, right? Where you can just be on the podcast and you can do it from the comfort of your own home. I mean, you could drive like 100 miles this way, 100 miles that way, and just go here, go there. But it wouldn't be saved. Like this podcast is here forever. It's in Apple Podcasts. It's in iHeart. It's on Stitcher. It's in Audible. It's in Amazon. I mean, you know, it's like it's different places. It's in Intune. You could go upstairs and say, "Hey Alexa, play my podcast." It'll start playing it, and that's the beauty of podcasts. I love it. I've been podcasting a long time as well. Start and stop. I started with Blog Talk Radio. Lord have mercy.
Yes.
And now we're at a different place. We're with Blueberry. But when we go to the podcast conference, we'll learn about all the other ways too. Spotify and Anchor, they merge. They you know, Spotify bought Anchor.fm or whatever. So it's easier to start a podcast. My daughter started a podcast. She did 3 episodes. She realized how much work it was.
Yeah, you got to do the editing and all those other things that go into it. So I don't want to discourage anyone, but I don't want folks to think, oh, I'm just going to start a podcast. No, it's you got to have a passion for it. Just like anything else you start, it's going to be challenging. It's not going to be easy. None of it's easy. But if you don't have enough passion to drive you through the challenges, it may not be worth the investment for you to go out, buy microphones, cameras, things of that nature, only for you to find out it would have been a lot easier for me to pay a publicist to get me on the show if I just want to be a guest.
Yeah, that's it. And then once you are in that position, like I want to be on a podcast, you need what Chris said. You need a great photo. You need a great bio. And then that's where we go. Because the bios in themselves sometimes, Chris, oh my goodness, it's like, really? This is not an obit. This is a bio. Okay. Some people are like, let's get this bio together first. Then we can kind of go out there and say.
Well, can I say this as you're talking about that? I mean, I know you have entrepreneurs who watch your show. Please, bios, headshots. I can't tell you the number of people who I see doing great work and, you know, great business folks, but you ask them for a headshot and they don't have a professional headshot, don't have a bio. And that's not to, you know, bag on anybody, but you start with getting those things in order, because you never know where you're going to be invited to, and you need to have those things in order. Yeah, it's just been some guys, I mean, who are doing great work, and I go to invite them for something and they don't have a headshot or they don't have a bio.
Yeah. So, and you can't.
I didn't mean to interrupt you, but just.
You don't have to start the bio out like I was born on such and such a day. I went to this. And, you know, that's how like an obit starts, right? It's just kind of like, oh my goodness, we got to really do better. And it is. I mean, the program that I have, ReadySetGoSpeak.com, that's the program that is really kind of like getting people to get ready to set to go and speak. And one of the first pillars is really knowing who your audience is. What are you trying to say? Getting the messaging together, getting the branding elements, getting the headshot, getting the bio, We got a short bio, a long bio, and a medium bio. You know, so you have different ones for people to introduce you to, type of a bio. Then you have another bio that's longer on your website or people to read, you know. So just getting those branding elements together is like really, really key of getting out there and getting known. You're doing good work, but then your assets, like you, all the things that you have, the website and all of that needs to be together, because people will Google you today a lot more than they did years ago. They will Google you and see like, what is this person up to? What are they really about? So Chris, thank you.
I'm glad to know you're offering that service.
Yeah. That's one of the main things. I wanted people to make that first stop for different things so that they can actually get going with it. I want people to go to Chris Howell Communications. I guess they can go there and contact you and maybe have a strategy session with you.
Absolutely.
Okay. That'll be good. Yeah. Well, I look forward to seeing you next week in the Big D, in the other Big D, because we're the Big D too, because we're Detroit. But that's the other Big D, right? Because
that's a whole nother show. I'll let you have that since it's your show.
All right. Well, Chris Howell, thank you so much for joining us today. Absolutely. Make sure that you know, you subscribe, share, and share the podcast and the live at the same time. Say hi to the people over on LinkedIn and Facebook and YouTube as well. But thank you so much for joining us today. I'm Pam Perry, and I'm out.
To learn more about Principles for Success and Chris Howell Communications, visit chrishowellonline.com. Once there, access our media archive and find out about the other ways that Chris Howell Communications can inspire, impact, and inform.